We thank you, Lord, that you give a seed to sow in your kingdom. And we thank you, Father, we place that seed in the hand of an awesome, mighty God, that you'll take it, you'll multiply it, you'll use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Looks like you got some youngins with you today. She made a face and then laughed. Hey, Jubal, you going to help keep Miss Debbie in line today? You promise? How about you, Eli? All right. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You ready for me? Okay. Hallelujah. Has it been a week or what? Somebody sends bombs. I think they were bombs. None of them blew up. So he wasn't very good at it anyway, but he put a scare in everybody. And then yesterday, one of the most horrendous attacks, on American soil, as far as I'm concerned, killing 11 people while they worship God, 11 Jewish people while they worship God. And then I watched the news and they want to blame this politician and that politician, yada, yada, yada. Can I tell you something? That's a problem with a man's heart. It has nothing to do with what any politician said. It has everything to do with the condition of the heart. And David in Psalms 18, I believe it's verse 48, David prayed that God would deliver him from the violent man. And that word in Hebrew for violence is actually the word Hamas. You ever heard that word? Okay. And so, and Hamas is, they have their headquarters in the Gaza Strip, which is where the ancient Philistines hung out. So there seems to always have been an enemy of Israel right there in what is now called the Gaza Strip. But I also believe that, everything that I've read here recently is that anti-Semitism is on the rise all around the world, okay? This is just one act that happened in Pittsburgh. And you think about Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's not very far from us. In Marietta, where my family lives, Pittsburgh's only a two-hour drive from there. So that's not very far. That happened in our backyard. So don't ever think it couldn't happen around here. So anyway, I would like to show you this morning, if I can, why anti-Semitism would be on the rise. Before I start with that, I want to clarify something. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? It is Satan or evil and his influence on men and women to commit evil. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So hopefully this morning when we get done, you can make a little bit of sense out of why someone would want to kill, go into a synagogue and shoot up a bunch of Jewish people. Maybe it'll make a little more sense this morning why Israel is surrounded by her enemies. Amen. That didn't make Natalie feel any better about sending her mom with me, okay? However, one thing about Israel, you don't have to go very far to find three or four IDF soldiers, fully armed and ready. They're on their toes, amen? So let's get started by going to our text scripture from last week. The preach came on me, and I didn't get to where I wanted to go. I went where God wanted me to go. So if you have a complaint, take it up with him. Isaiah 61, page 946, if you've got a Bible like mine, glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll start in verse 1. Isaiah 61, hallelujah. Verse 1. Let's pray and get started. Father, we love you and praise you this morning. We magnify you and glorify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, we ask that you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, amen. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord, they shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Whose? The Jewish people, the children of Israel, he says. They will be in their land, and everlasting joy shall be theirs. But first God says, I'm going to plant them as trees of righteousness. The New American Standard Bible says, as oak trees of righteousness. Now, anybody that knows anything about hardwoods know that oak is one of the hardest woods and one of the strongest trees there are. Somebody say amen. Remember what Jesus said, talking about John the Baptist, when he questioned the Pharisees that came out, said, what do you come out here to see, a reed shaking in the wind? You know, my dad got after me and my brother one time because we were disobedient. And he made us go cut our own switch. And I went down to the edge of the swamp and cut a cattail. You ever seen a cattail? They're hollow in the middle. My brother cut a willow switch. I said, Lord, don't take that thing up there. Were you crazy? No, he said, cut a switch. And he said, my brother heard every word he said. He said, the bigger it is, the less we get. I said, yeah, but don't take that thing. I mean, you could hear it. You know, anybody ever had an ugly stick, you know, fishing pole? You know, one of them fishing pole, them ugly sticks, you can bend them and it'll. That's where this willow switch was. So anyway, we went upstairs and Dad looked at mine and laughed, and he just wore me out with it. It broke into a million pieces. But then he took that willow switch and he gave Gord one right over the hind end. I mean, shmack. And I was like, I told you, fool, you know. And Dad said, hey, where are you going looking at me? I said, I'm done here. I've had enough, you know. No, you bend over. Now, mind you, we was in our underwear. This was serious business. He gave me three licks with that willow switch. Shmack, shmack, shmack. And Dad told us later on, it hadn't been that many years ago. He said, I was outside the bathroom door because when we got done, he said, now take your baths, get in a bathtub. So the sink and the mirror was right, you know, right over top of each other. And then the toilet was right directly behind the sink. So I could stand, you know, like this and look at my butt, and Gord said, man, your hind end looks like a wildcat got a hold of it. And Dad told us just a few years ago, he said, I was outside that door. He said, I had to run downstairs to keep from laughing. I said, well, I'll tell you what, this guy didn't think it was very funny, you know. But Gordy heard every word he said. I was bad about not hearing every word, you know. And you know what? I found out that there's a lot of Christians that way. They read the Bible and they see and hear what they want to see and hear. Oh, come on now. Lighten up, will you? Am I right? Okay. All right. God says, I'm going to make you an oak tree of righteousness. Speaking about the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. So let's look here. In Hebrew, here's the word for tree, etz. Okay, it means tree. Now, if you notice, there's an ayin and a zadi, and the ayin and the zadi are common in all these words. So all of these words share the same root word as tree, right? You with me? I'm not very good at English, but I got this part down, okay? So we get this word, shares the same root word, osim. This little dot here gives it the O sound. Osim, which means strong and mighty. Amen. And then we get this word here, etzim. Etzim, which is bones. All right? Well, what's bones got to do with a tree? Well, your skeleton is your tree. Amen. It's what holds you up, right? Without a skeleton, you'd just be one of them jellyfish floating in the ocean. All right? And then we get this word from this word. It's yachts, not Yahtzee, that my wife loves to play, okay? But yachts, and it means counsel or support. So the idea of a tree is something that is strong and mighty, something that is going to give counsel and support. So Isaiah prophesies that someday God is going to make the nation of Israel a oak tree, a righteous tree, one that is going to support or counsel, one that is going to be strong and mighty. Now let's look at Zechariah real quick. Let's look over at Zechariah. If you can't find him, go to Matthew. Come backwards to Malachi, the Italian prophet, or Malachi, and you'll find Zechariah. So God promises to make Israel a strong, make Israel strong and mighty, like an oak tree. All right, now look here. Look here in Zechariah chapter 8. It's page 1257. You got a Bible like mine. Page 1257. Keep it down up there, guys. You're bugging me. And while they're turning, I got a bone to pick with Terry. You got the card. Order me the lapel mic. Okay? I keep forgetting to tell him that. All right? So I remembered. So I can't hold my Bible in this, and it's just unnatural for me. All right. Where am I at? Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Lord, we need that today. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. Quit having a bad attitude towards your neighbors. Okay? Well, that's not really what I'm preaching about. And do not love a false oath, for all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. If I get enough chances, I'll get it right. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, fast of the fifth, fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. For the house of Judah, therefore, love truth and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, peoples shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Amen. Now, why would people want to go to Jerusalem to worship the God of Israel if Israel wasn't a strong tree? Huh? Why would they want to go? They wouldn't want to go, would they? But if Israel is a strong nation and a godly nation, then people will want to go to Israel to worship God. And then Zechariah prophesies that 10 men are going to take a hold of one Jewish man and say, hey, take me to your God. Now, to a certain extent, we're doing that now with the study of the Jewishness of Jesus and Christianity's Jewish roots. Amen? So part of that prophecy is being fulfilled. All right? Are you beginning to see why the devil hates Israel? If God has said, I'm going to make you a righteous tree, something that's strong, that other people can hang on to, why would the devil want to allow that? Because I believe God is doing this, and I really believe there was an older man, I don't believe he's even alive today because he was pretty old when he wrote the book, Israel, The Key to World Redemption. And it's a really hard book to read, but there's some really good nuggets in there. And I believe, like Elmer Josephson, that Israel is the key to world redemption. We pray for revival at this church. We want God to pour out his spirit. Somebody say amen, right? So we want God to pour out his spirit, and I believe God is pouring out his spirit and that God will pour it out in the nation of Israel. Listen to me. If you think about Israel and the surrounding nations, for instance, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt. You know, they're all related. Israel, they're all related. They're sons of Isaac, or they're sons of Ishmael, or they're sons of Keturah. You remember who Keturah was? That was the last wife of Abraham, and he had 6 or 7 sons by her. So they're all interrelated. So what you have in the Middle East is the most dysfunctional family that the world has ever seen. Amen. So why wouldn't God want? Can you imagine if God poured out his spirit in the Middle East, not only that the Jews were being saved and filled with the spirit, but that all the surrounding nations around them now were coming to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would that be a statement for the world or what? Okay. All right. Let me keep going. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit. Wednesday night, we had an interesting conversation. Okay? We had an interesting conversation, and some of you weren't here. Matter of fact, most of you weren't here. So I want to go over that conversation a little bit with you. Okay? And then I want to get in a little more to what God has done prophetically in Israel concerning trees. All right? So if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy 29. That's where we started out Wednesday night. Had no intentions of really going where we went. That's the amazing thing about if you're a servant of God and you really have an open heart to God, he can take you wherever he wants to take you. Amen. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, page 267. We started out with this. It says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. Did you read that? When these blessings and curses come upon you, God said, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. Let me give you a quick history lesson. You all should know this by now if you've heard me preach more than 3 times. Somebody tell me what happened in 70 AD. Let me check my students here. Very good. Not only just the destruction of the temple, but the destruction of Jerusalem. And what happened were, one of the things that happened was, after Jerusalem is destroyed and Israel is destroyed, people fled for their lives. They left Israel. And then in 135 A.D., we had what historians call the second Jewish revolt, when the Roman Emperor Hadrian squashed that revolt. And by the way, one of the interesting things that happened there was Rabbi Akiva, who was the religious leader of the Jews, and then there was Simon Bar Kokhba, who was the Jewish general. And when Akiva proclaimed that Bar Kokhba was the Messiah, the believers in Jesus laid down their swords and left. And Jews ended up traveling, migrating to all the nations of the world. I mean, you can find a group of Jews in almost every country. But God said, you're going to remember these things after you've experienced the curses. That would be the destruction in 70 AD and then again in 135, and they're dispersed into all nations. But God says, I'm going to call you. He said, I'm going to call you from those nations. And in the early 1800s, God began to call the Jewish people back into the nation of Israel. Now, many didn't want to come, but many did. And then during the Holocaust and World War II, it forced many of them. They fled Nazi Germany. They fled Europe in order to find a safe place to live, because they realized, many of them realized, that the only safe place would be to have their own nation, the nation of Israel. Amen. So on May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. But let's keep reading here. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. I'm in verse 2. According to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. I'm telling you, that's happening. It's been happening. Right now, there's about 8 million Jews in Israel today. If we go back to 1948, there was some, probably, I seen one number of about 700,000. So from 1948 till today, there's been 7.3 million Jews make it back to Israel. They call it Aliyah, returning to Israel. Let's keep going here. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Now here's the verse that started the discussion. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand and the fruit of your body and the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Let's go back to verse 7. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you. How many know when God makes a promise, he keeps it?